friends, Pastor Jim here. As those of you who have been listening know, we are about to have a Abolish Abortion Kansas rally at our church in St. George, Kansas. And we've been asking you around the country to be in prayer for it. So we're actually going to be splitting last week's message and next week's message so that we can put in place this week a message about abolishing abortion. Please listen and hear, and I pray, be touched by God. Leviticus 20, beginning in the first verse. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, Say to the people of Israel, Any one of the people of Israel, or the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who gives any of his children to Moloch, shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given one of his children to Moloch, to make my sanctuary unclean, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man, when he gives one of his children to Moloch, and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man, against his clan, and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Moloch. If a person turns to mediums and wizards, whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Oh, Father God, Lord, I ask that you would fill my mouth with your words. I ask, Lord, that your heart would be my heart, and that it would be revealed to those who are here, to those who will listen online, to those who will listen on the radio, to those who will hear, Lord, in every state of this union and around the world. Lord, may they hear your heart. I ask that you speak through me. I thank you for your forgiveness and your grace. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. I had a full week this week. Sunday, Jared and I took off for Oklahoma City. We got there around 10 and got up Monday morning and went to this conference for abolishing abortion. Within the first hour of the conference, my heart was broken and tears were running down my face. And the reason is because I have stood by and professed to be pro-life and let that be all I did to protect the unborn. I let that be all I did to stand for those who are being killed before they're born. And God's conviction fell on my heart, and I wept, and I probably will again today. As we start into this text, the Lord says to Moses, Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel, or the strangers who sojourn in Israel. So it's not just talking about the Jewish people, but it's anyone who joins saying that they are of the Lord. It's anyone who professes God, and now we would say professes Jesus Christ. It is anyone who has been added to the family, who has been adopted, who has been grafted in. That's who he's talking to. Say to the people of Israel and any one of the people of Israel or the strangers who sojourn in Israel. So this message is to you and I. Who gives any of his children to Moloch shall surely be put to death. Who gives any of his children to Moloch? Something we, as Christians, at least I hope, especially in this room, we all would say that life begins at conception. Am I correct? Life begins at conception. We get that because that's what the scriptures teach us, isn't it? That life begins at conception. In fact, we know in the scriptures from Psalm 139, in verse 13, it says, You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God creates every life, every single life, even if that life is brought about by wrong circumstances. And we could have a long list of wrong circumstances, couldn't we? Wrong circumstances could be anything from rape or incest to out of marriage or even teenage. There's all sorts of wrong circumstances, but when that has taken place, it is God who allowed it. Are we in agreement? What is the sixth commandment? Thou shalt not murder. We are not to murder. So if life begins at conception, what is that life? Is that the life of a human being? There's no question. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. At conception, that is the life of a human being. Or in other words, it is a person who has not yet been born. Psalm 139, verse 15. Frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Our form was not hidden from God when we were conceived. We were a person. Does the sixth commandment only address those who have been born? It's funny the way we twist and manipulate. It's not funny. It's terrible the way we twist and manipulate laws. If a pregnant woman, even in the earliest stages of pregnancy, is killed, often the murderer is accused of two lives, right? But then we turn around and we say, well, if the child isn't born yet, this person isn't born yet, that it's not a life yet. Some say, oh, well, it's breath that makes them alive. That's foolishness, isn't it? And that is twisting of God's word. God tells Moses to say to the people who would give, who would sacrifice their children to Molech, that they are guilty of murder. This being put to death, that is the penalty of murder, isn't it? In the scripture, that was the penalty of murder. So that's what it's talking about. This is murder. Take a child and sacrifice it to a false god. But what is it that we are doing when we sacrifice a child in the womb? It's not Molech. What is it that we're sacrificing to? The god of what? Self. I heard several things, but they all said the same. They're all the same thing. Self. It is the god of selfishness, the god of what I want, my convenience. And so we're willing to kill and to kill our own flesh and blood. Verse 3 says, I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Moab. He has sacrificed to a false god. Galatians 1:15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. Does God not work and set us apart? Does God not weave us together, knit us together? But does he not also establish all the days of our life, not only before we were born, but when? For the foundations of the world. In Christianity, I can't imagine there's anybody in this room who's any different than what I was in the fact that you are pro-life. Wouldn't everybody here agree that they are pro-life? The reason myself, the reason all of you would say, yes, you are pro-life, is because we believe that that child, even at conception, has the same rights to life as somebody who was born. And so that sounds very good to be pro-life, doesn't it? It's kind of like something we see today, the movement called Black Lives Matter. Absolutely, Black Lives Matter, don't they? I mean, anyone who would argue that Black Lives don't matter is not only a racist, but they're a fool. But that's not what the movement really is about, is it? That movement is not about Black Lives mattering, or at least not all Black Lives mattering. It's about something else. Pro-life has become about something else. Pro-life has become about something other than saving every life. What pro-life is and what pro-life does is they work to pass legislation to funnel the number of abortions into fewer categories. I saw an illustration this week of a tree, and each branch of the tree was one of the forms of abortion. And the pro-life, what they do is they come and they cut off one of those branches. They prune one of those branches. Now, if you prune your fruit trees, what are you doing? Are you trying to kill it? You're trying to funnel the energy that goes into that into other parts of the tree, right? That's what happens in pro-life. Have we reduced all these years of fighting for pro-life legislation, all these years of fighting for pro-life candidates, have we reduced the number of abortions in America? Do you know how many babies will be killed today in Kansas? Today, there will be 19 babies killed in Kansas. You know that since 1973, the last 48 years, there have been over 60 million, in fact, I think it's 68 million people who have been killed in the womb. Or in other words, let me put it in another way. Every 3 years, the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust are killed in the womb. That's what pro-life has gotten us. Is that good? Do you think God wants us to pick the way that babies are killed in the womb? Or does he want us to stop it? And what I need to be doing is getting behind those who want to end abortion completely. So the argument is, well, what about if it comes down to the life of the mother or the child? Sounds like a decent argument, doesn't it? What happens if Cynthia and I are in an accident and we're both critically ill? Isn't it the right that we have for medical treatment to try to save both of our lives? Isn't that the right that child has to have his life saved, if possible? I mean, sometimes it's not possible. In an accident, sometimes two people are injured, similar injuries, but they can only do so much, especially the first responders, right? They can only do so much on the scene. And so they have to do what they can do, and one might be lost. Well, that's a whole different picture, isn't it? When that happens, when a woman's life is at stake, they do everything they can to save both lives. And if they can't save both lives, they can't. That happens in the medical field because they aren't God and they can't save every life. So that argument has no teeth and no value. They also say, well, what about rape? In fact, I had someone tell me this week that it would be horrible if somebody was raped and they had to spend 9 months carrying the child of the rapist before they could have the child adopted. I said how traumatic that would be for this woman. Folks, if you know somebody who has had an abortion, the trauma of having that abortion, no matter what the reason, is greater than the trauma of carrying a child for 9 months. That trauma grips them the rest of their life. Are there some exceptions? Yeah. Some very wicked, evil people would have exceptions to that. Abortion is sacrificing our children to a God that is not a God. Back to the child. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you prophet to the nation. When did God know him? Before he was formed. Before he was formed. So biblically, the argument that a child is not a child until it has a heartbeat is false, isn't it? What does the Bible say that children are? It says that they're a blessing. They're a heritage. They're an inheritance. Think about some of the women in the scriptures. Who is barren in the scriptures? Sarah. Sarah was barren, and it was a disgrace to her, wasn't it? Because she was not receiving the blessing and the inheritance of a child. Another one would be Elizabeth, wouldn't it? Elizabeth was barren and longed for a child. Hannah desired a child and was barren. They desired the child not to fulfill them. That wasn't what they were after. They desired the child because that's what they were created to do, is to bear. That's what we were sent forth to do, to fill the earth. It is an obedience to God, and it is a blessing from God. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful. He blessed them to be fruitful. In addition to that, what was man created like? Or in what image was man created? In God's own image. So murder is destroying someone created in God's own image. And that includes the murder of someone who is not yet born. So this is an abomination to God. This is something that God hates. It's an abomination. Friends, abortion is wickedness, isn't it? Pure wickedness. The scary thing is I hear that there are those who would like to be able to go ahead and kill the child after it's born too. It's not just the unborn, but there are those who would like to kill them after. In fact, there are those who would like to kill people after a certain age, because in their terms, they drain society. That's wrong too, isn't it? When I was in high school, well, when Star Wars was in the theater, I went and saw Star Wars Drive-In Theater in Salina, Kansas. And it was a double feature. First, before Star Wars, was an old movie called Logan's Run. And in that movie, what they did was, when you reached a certain age, you went into the regeneration unit, which incinerated you. Folks, murder is wrong, no matter who it is we are murdering. And we do it intentionally. Verse 3 again says, I set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. When Jared and Grace were in Kansas City the other day, they were talking to a man whose girlfriend was going in to have an abortion, father of that baby. And they were telling him how this was murder. It was wrong in the sight of God. And his response was, I'll repent tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow. I will sin today and repent tomorrow. That, my friends, is exactly what he's saying here. They have profaned, they have made unclean the very name of God in that way. But look at this as we go on in this text, verse 4. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech, and do not put him to death. When the people of the land close their eyes, what this is really saying is when you stand by and do nothing while children are being sacrificed, you are guilty of their blood. And folks, make no mistake, being pro-life is doing nothing. Has anyone seen that there is an amendment that we're going to be voting on here in the next year or so to say that abortion is not a right in the state of Kansas? It was in the Manhattan Mercury a week or so ago, and in that amendment, it says that in the state of Kansas, you do not have a right to an abortion, and that it is the job of the legislature to regulate abortion. Now, if that becomes a part of the Kansas Constitution, any half-witted attorney can say that Kansas allows abortion. Otherwise, why would they say they wanted to regulate it? As I talked to people this week, I heard people excited about this bill that we're going to get to vote on because we do not take action and understand. Can you see why God cut me to the heart on this? Verse 5 says, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Who is it he's going to cut off? He's going to cut off the people who watch the children being sacrificed. Now that should scare us, shouldn't it? That should cause us to tremble before the Lord and to repent. That should cause us, if we belong to him, to change who we are and how we react. Notice what he calls it. Whoring after Molech. Whoring after the false god. What does that word mean? It means selling yourself to the false god, the way a prostitute would her body. That's what it means. By sitting idle, that's what you and I are doing, isn't it? Isn't it important that we would stand up and be counted? Someone said, well, pro-life at least is getting something done. If they're getting something done, how come the number of abortions are not being reduced? You ever hear the terminology, do something even if it's wrong? Well, that's pretty foolish, isn't it? To do something, even if it's wrong, is foolish, especially when it has such deep and lasting consequences. Verse 6, if a person turns to mediums and wizards, whoring after them, I will set my face against them and cut them off from among the people. We turned, the church in America has turned to so many things that are not God. Pro-life is one of those. That is not of God. That is the world's way of taking care of it. Because of being pro-life, I believe that most people who are pro-life have good intentions, don't you? There's an old saying about what the road to hell is paved with. Remember what that is? Good intentions. Isn't it time for us to stop having good intentions? And as Christians, before our God, not to earn favor, not to earn salvation, but to show our love for him, start doing good works, doing those things that bring honor and glory to his name. Folks, this has broken my heart. Child is a gift from God. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. A child is valuable. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Exodus 20 and verse 13. You shall not murder. That simple. You shall not murder. Romans 2 and verse 15. And that they show the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. Folks, we know in our heart, don't we? Is there anyone here that ever did not know that abortion was wrong in your heart? The world has been telling us lies. The world has been telling us lies. We use 1973 and the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade as that moment. But really, it was long before that. Long before that. I remember when I was in Germany as a kid, I think I was in the sixth grade when I was friends with this one boy. And his mother would openly talk about the fact that she had an abortion and she was glad that she didn't have a child out there somewhere that she didn't know. As a sixth grade boy, that sounded evil to me. As a lost sixth grade boy, that sounded evil to me. We need to make the difference. We need to stand. I don't intend to do anything to make people know who I am, but I do everything to point people to God. And that's what this is about. Point them to God. Point them to God. I want to read out of Matthew 5, and I'm going to start in the 13th verse, so if you want to turn there with me. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of people. Now, friends, I keep hearing from people, oh, how could God let Trump lose? Oh, how could God do this to our country? Folks, we have done this to our country. We have whored after evil. We have chased it. Even within the church, we have chased it. And God has said, okay, you can have it. Our saltiness in the American church is gone. And the American church is really worth very little but to be trampled under the feet of people. However, there is still a remnant of the true church. In America, even. There is a remnant, and we need to be salt. We need to be salt, and we need to be light. As I continue in that text, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We need to make a stand so that they can see the glory of God who is in heaven, because the church in America has laid down and said it's okay to do wrong. Repent tomorrow. You know what I was told about tomorrow when I was very young? It never comes. Tomorrow never gets here. And the scriptures say we aren't promised tomorrow. But we're to be a light. Folks, we're not to hide. We're not to say, oh, well, that's too controversial. We're not to say, oh, well, that might cause people to leave our church. Oh, that might cause people not to listen on the radio to this program. Oh, that might reduce the number of people around the world who want to pick it up and listen to it through the different programs on the internet. If that is the case, so be it. Amen? Let the world know that you and I belong to God. We are His servants, and that we will shine the light on Him, that people will glorify His name and not ours. One of the speakers last week said something that really stuck with me, and it was this, that courage and obedience are two sides of the same coin. We cannot be obedient without courage. And I say that because this world does not like truth. Do you know who fights abolishment laws more than anyone else? The pro-life industry. The greatest enemy to abolishing or ending abortion is the pro-life industry. You say, how can that possibly be? Because what happens when their 501c3s to reduce abortion are no longer needed because there's no abortion to reduce? They're out of business, aren't they? And folks, the fact is most people in that industry, I didn't say all, I said most, do not want abortion ended because they're out of a job. Most politicians do not want abortion ended because that is the main platform that they run on to get themselves elected. So as long as abortion is still out there, they're still bringing in their money. One of the legislators that spoke this last week at the conference I was at. There was a couple of them that spoke. But one of them said this. He said, I spent 6 years as a legislator. He said, in that 6 years, he said, almost every single legislator I met was more worried about being reelected than doing what their constituents want. Almost everyone. The legislators in Kansas, one in particular that I spoke to, whose name I'm not going to say today, but one in particular I spoke to, he told me, he said, well, we can never abolish abortion in Kansas because of the federal laws. Well, it's this way. The federal law is not a law. The federal law he's talking about is Roe versus Wade, which is a Supreme Court decision. But when you open up the Constitution of the United States, it says that the people of the United States have a duty to abolish wicked laws. And this isn't even a law. There is a federal law that says that marijuana cannot be cultivated, that marijuana cannot be sold, it cannot be harvested legally in the United States of America. A federal law says that. You know how many states now have legalized marijuana? You know what they did? They said that law doesn't matter, and they ignored it as a state. That's what they did. And yet, an opinion from the Supreme Court of the United States carries more weight than that does? See where I'm going, folks? We need a change, don't we? We need a change of heart. We need a change of heart. And we need to stop watching our children being sacrificed to a false god and stand up for their lives. I'm preaching to the choir because I know that this church is behind our Abolish Abortion Kansas rally that we're doing. And you're going to see and hear some things that will inspire you even more. But folks, that's the direction we need to be going. And not just against abortion. Right now, abortion is at the front of our hearts and minds. But anything that is against God's word, we need to be against it, don't we? We cannot stand for something because it's socially acceptable. We have got to stand against what is against God's word. And we need to come together as the church, not just Lighthouse, but the church in our area, in our state, in this nation needs to come together. And that remnant needs to truly point this nation to God, that it would repent and turn away from its wicked way. I'll close with, early in the Gospels, what we see is a call to repent with a reason. Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and it's closer than it's ever been. Repent, America. Repent, those of you who call yourself Christian. Repent, those who are doing what is evil in the sight of God. Repent and turn to God. Turn away from the evil and make much of Him who created you. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You. I thank You, though I am a wicked man, Lord. You have shown me Your grace. Now, Lord, as we stand against abortion, and as we work, Lord, to make it illegal in the United States of America, Father, I pray that we would never leave the victims to themselves. There are many men and women who have been victimized by this. Oh, Father, may they know Your grace. May You cleanse their hearts, Lord. And many I know You already have. Give them a new heart, Lord, to stand for what is right before You. Give them a new heart, Lord, that as they repent of those things that they have done in the past, they will do the good works that point people to You, that they would glorify You in heaven. As we repent, Lord, of doing nothing, give us a clean heart, that we would do the works that point to You, that people would glorify Your name. I thank You, Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Friends, join us live for the Abolish Abortion Kansas rally that we are having. Join us at www.lighthousesbc.org and click on our YouTube page. It'll be from 4 to 7 Central Time on February the 28th. Let's stand together and let's stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ and stand in the gap for those who are unborn. Now, as always, if you need a hold of us, you can call us at our listener line, 1-800-416-9352, or you could reach us at www.lightoftheword.com.